Do you think sales is a bad word? When you hear the word sales, I wonder what images come to mind. Whatever your relationship is with selling, I'm glad you're here. Let's have a conversation about how to sell like a good human. Hi, welcome to Conversations with Good Humans. I'm your host, Katherine Brown, and I'm author of the book called How Good Humans Sell. Today on Conversations with Good Humans, I'm talking with Kevin Gallimore, owner of a company in Houston, Texas called Digital Prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. I have followed Kevin for a while now, and it was my pleasure to bring him to speak with a group sales training program I run, where he talked about how to sell like a good human on LinkedIn. This recording is part of a larger sales coaching discussion we had, and I chose the edited version we're sharing with you here because I like how Kevin helps people think about different goals for communicating on LinkedIn. Since so many of my followers and listeners sell business to business, LinkedIn is our main social platform to master. I can't wait to hear what you think. Welcome, Kevin. Really excited to have Kevin join us today. And I met Kevin because he is a member of a business-to-business networking group I'm in Houston. And we actually had a conversation just last week where we were kind of geeking out on this idea about how to be a good human on LinkedIn. Like, what does it look like? What does it not look like? And I liked so many of the things he said so much that I thought that this would be a wonderful opportunity to have him come and speak with us. And he has lots of jobs, including having a firm that where he is actually a LinkedIn consultant and trainer. So Kevin, I'm so glad that you're here today. Thank you for joining us. And I have been describing you as someone who trains on LinkedIn, as well as some companies pay you to actually post for them. You actually ghostwrite, log in as them, and write on their behalf because it's something they want to outsource. Am I describing that correctly? And how would you like to introduce yourself to the group?
No, that's actually really, really accurate. Yeah, and thank you for having me here today to be a part of this and to have this conversation. And I always feel like when I'm around you, I'm kind of riding the tail of a comet. And so it's fun to chat with you like this. And but yeah, that's essentially what I do. I specialize in creating content for B2Bs that helps generate engagement for companies and ultimately leads and business opportunities. And so a lot of people see the value of LinkedIn and know intellectually there's a lot of opportunity out there, but they just don't know where to begin. They don't know where to start. And plus, most companies don't have the added luxury of a marketing department or, you know, some kind of a person or group who's responsible for that. And so we manage company LinkedIn pages and post and, you know, sort of get to know their business and post content that is relevant to their industry and to their business. And then on top of that, we train all sizes of teams to become what I call brand ambassadors to carry the message of their company to the masses. So the synergy of those two things, being very active on the company page and posting every day, and then all of the employees posting and commenting and sharing, and that just broadcasts the message really wide and far, and gets a lot of eyeballs there for the for those companies. We create custom graphics and videos and have a 365-day content suggestions that the employees can use so they have something to post every day. And so, yeah, if anybody would like to go to our website, digitalprofit.marketing, and to connect with me on LinkedIn, because I'm obviously very active on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying your posts, Kevin. I think it's just so good to see what someone else's voice sounds like and to see what, you know, to see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads me to like one of the things that attracted me to you as a collaborator, you know, in this discussion is that we had a conversation about how a lot of people
know what, how they don't want to appear on LinkedIn. And we've talked about it in this group before. I've had other conversations with people about it. My clients on one-on-ones or group coaching have brought this up to me. Nobody likes when they get an introduction or an offer to connect with someone, and then immediately that person wants to sell them something or pitch them on something. Or in my case, I don't even like to be asked to a Zoom call because I'm still figuring out who you are and if you're someone that I can refer to or if I want to do business with you. So I want to follow you for a little while before I want you to invite me to something that feels like a little bit too big of a jump for me to sometimes jump on a call. So you and I had a whole conversation about that last week. And we talked about how most people know how they don't want to show up, but they actually don't know how they, it's easier to say what they don't want to look like than what they do want to look like. And so that leads me to this question, like, you know, what are some of the human traits that you like to see people demonstrate on LinkedIn? And just to give you a preview, I'm going to ask you for examples of where you see that so we can literally all go follow that and learn from that, because I really believe in not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all have to sort of learn from good examples out there. Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this idea a lot lately, and our conversation was sort of about introducing humanity back into technology. Feels like it's really sort of a missing link there. No pun intended. When I think about technology, I think about it as a tool. You know, everything has its right place. And just like anything else, technology has its right place. I think social media and technology as a whole, though, has sort of overwhelmed us in the last decade. I mean, maybe the last 30 years or so, but especially the last decade. And when if you've seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix, they talk about how the only places that they talk about their customers as being users is in social media and in selling drugs. Those are the two places where their clients, their customers are referred to as users, because it really, really essentially a technology kind of uses us. I mean, we get it sort of backwards and we're just kind of consumed by it. And I think we have forgotten how to interact in a really human way. I love the title of your book for that reason, just the essence about how, you know, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a good contributing member of society and to interact with people the right way and the way that they want to interact with? And so I think of technology as a tool, and tools are, they're kind of the thing that distinguishes us, distinguishing characteristics of what it means to be human. I mean, other animals use tools, but humans probably use them in the most significant ways. And you think of stones, right? Using stones to shape things, and then it developed into hammers, and then language is a tool. It's a technology, really, but it's a tool. And then it became even more refined. And you think of like an artist brush as a tool that we use, a form of technology. And in fact, the word techne in Greek is means art or craft, right? So it's not just science or electronic stuff. So as technology has developed over the last few years, I feel like we've sort of forgotten how to use the technology instead of the technology using us. And so we've begun to automate things like communication, like our responses. LinkedIn, you know, in particular, you know, we all see those like suggested responses that pop up, and we know when somebody actually selects those, right? I mean, you can see right through it. We have automated emotions. We've turned them into emoticons. We've automated play. We've automated social systems. And so anyway, so I've just begun to think about like, how do we reintroduce what humanity back into this, this tool? How does it support us instead of us really kind of supporting it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so one of the things that comes to my mind as an example is taking the time to make a really thoughtful comment that is even above and beyond. So if you're going to do nothing, clicking the like button is better than nothing. But the next level is a short form comment. And the next level, I think, of good humanness is a really thoughtful comment that shows you took a little bit more time. And for you to do that, you have to create space in your calendar to do that regularly, or you have to train someone if you want to outsource that to really be empowered because they are representing your brand. I 100% believe this can be done because Jolly writes copy for me. And you all, I've talked about before, so many of you do know, but if you're visiting and you don't know her very well, you might not know that her ability to get, you know, within inches, within centimeters of exactly the way I would have said something, you know, is astounding. We have worked together for 10 years and we have the same values and I trust her. You know, so it took a long time for us to get that way where I felt like she could embody my voice and, you know, help me in that way. So I 100% believe this can be done with assistance. And I think you want to do that very thoughtfully because your voice is it's your brand and your bond, right? So I'm curious, Kevin, what else, in addition to thoughtful comments, like what else introduces humanity or what else comes to your mind that way?
Yeah, well, the first thing that comes to mind is empathy. That is something when you can sort of put yourself in another person's shoes, when you can start real kind of honest, authentic conversations. I think that is something that's really that connects us, and I think that resonates with people. I think about shared experiences. You know, when you're posting about something, what is maybe one of the most common shared experience that we all have is failure. Yet on LinkedIn, it's probably the one thing that people talk the least about because we're projecting this persona of excellence and success. And so if we can be vulnerable enough to post those kinds of things and be transparent about our failures and not just unload, but talk about our failures and talk about what we learned from them and how they made us a better person and how they made us who we are, maybe what we're thankful about in those failures, right? I think those are things that people really, really resonate with. Starting conversations where it's not just one-sided, it's not just sort of a salesy post where you're posting a product out there, but actually engaging in a conversation is really good. So when you talk about comments, I mean, I think comments are really, really important. I think of a comment on LinkedIn, like a tiny little post. And you can comment on multiple things throughout the day. And it's like sprinkling your posts throughout the platform. Really powerful way to get out there and in front of folks. The author of the post is going to see it. They're going to appreciate your engagement in their post. They're likely going to comment, right? And they're probably likely they're going to go to your profile page to check it out. It also notifies everybody in the thread that you posted, and they're going to go check it out and they're going to connect with you. So commenting, I think, is a great way to do it. And LinkedIn loves those conversations happening. You know, the longer you can make those conversations go, the more it kind of promotes you up in the algorithm, as they say.
That's awesome, Kevin. So my last question, what are a couple of things, additional things that might be low-hanging fruit? That's what my grapes are, is their picture of low-hanging fruit. What are low-hanging fruit things that you teach your clients that come to mind that drive engagement with their ideal prospects that people might not be thinking of?
Yeah, so commenting, as we said, is a big one. Commenting is a great way to engage your customers and engage the kind of folks that you want to do business with. Contributing in those conversations is a great way to do it. And so, you know, if a person posts about maybe, five or six, maybe they give five or six tips and you can think of a seventh or an eighth tip. That's always good. Maybe you have a counter, maybe they bring up a point and you have a counterpoint. You know, you don't want to start an argument there. We know how to do that civilly, but just bringing an additional viewpoint or perspective, that may be one way that you can contribute to that conversation. So comments are great. I suggest people post to like 10, or they comment on 10 posts a day. That's a lot. I realize that's a lot, but it's a really, really powerful way to broaden your audience and to make connections. And so if you can't do 10, you know, try to do 5 a day, and make them thoughtful. The other thing is polls. Polls are a great way to engage people and get a conversation going. The cool thing, they're really popular right now on LinkedIn. One of the great ways, or one of the great aspects of them, is that you can also see who answers the poll questions and reach out and connect with them. So again, it's a way to get that conversation started. The third Thursday of every quarter is Get to Know Your Customers Day, hashtag Get to Know Your Customers Day. And it happens to be April 21st, I believe, is the next one that's coming up. And so you could do a poll to find out what the pain points are for your customers, maybe. Or just to get to know them personally. And so polls are a great, easy way to start engaging people. And then I'll say the other thing is just consistent posting, being active on LinkedIn and posting original content, not sharing stuff, not just liking stuff, but posting stuff. Consistency is one of the biggest keys to growing your audience and getting in front of more people and connecting with those ideal customers. And so I suggest everybody's goal should be posting one day a week during the work week. Some people post even on the weekends and post kind of personal stuff, which is cool. Kind of what they're doing with their family, but at least 5 days a week during the work week. And that can be challenging. And so again, if you want to kind of set the bar a little lower, maybe try for 3. And a lot of people say, man, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to come up with. The cursor is just blinking at me. It's a blank canvas that's intimidating. And so you can come up with four buckets, 4 types of posts that you can post each day. Pick one kind of post out of one of those buckets. Just reach in and grab it and post it. And so one of those buckets might be telling a story. Maybe it's sharing sort of a life lesson, an experience that you had, a positive or negative one. Another bucket might be just sharing encouragement and staying positive. And we all know that we need to see more positivity on social media anyway. And so that might be one. A third bucket might be dispelling a myth. Maybe you take sort of a common myth in a particular industry and you deconstruct it, you dispel it. And then a fourth might be facilitating a debate. And again, in a healthy way, right? But let's say you want to get some conversation going around a CRM. So we all know we've got our opinions about CRMs. You could facilitate a debate on which type works for you and why. If you're a nutrition coach, you could talk about, what's the most important meal of the day? What do you think the most important meal of the day is to you and why, or something? So just getting a conversation, a debate started like that. Consistent posting is a big deal. And we talk about sort of the human side of LinkedIn, introducing humanity back into technology. But there is, let's be honest, there is the technological side. And the more you post to LinkedIn, the more the algorithm is going to recognize that you're a contributing member of that LinkedIn community and get you in front of more eyeballs.
Kevin, thank you so much for the example of the four buckets. I'm sure you have more buckets we could name as well. Sure. And those are great ones. I wanted to comment real quick on the example with the poll, and I'm going to open up the discussion for questions. So you guys be thinking about what questions you want to ask Kevin. I want to give the example with the poll. So some people say, no, people are tired of polls. Don't do it. It works. If it's a good poll and it's interesting and it's germane to what you sell, I want to tell you a specific example of how my friend Susie Matheson, who's a great sales trainer, she sells and works in Cologne, Germany, and she trains all over Europe. Well, she trains all over the world, but she has most of her clients are in Europe. She uses polls all the time. The reason she uses polls is because you can see who votes, and then you see if anyone comments. But the vote people, she goes to every one of the vote people and does a direct message and asks them more about their vote. And then they take the conversation from LinkedIn to email, and then they turn them into sales calls. So she is selling from those polls, y'all. She is generating interest. She's seeing who participated, striking up a conversation. Those that are interested, that have a deeper conversation, or are willing to engage on that, you know, it deepens from there. So she has her, think about it as a funnel. She has her own little mini funnel by seeing who participated. And so it's a very deliberate strategy. And I'm mentioning this because when we begin our next series next week, and the first thing we have to talk about is, who do you want to sell to? And if you don't already have a CRM and a spreadsheet, and you are, or you're launching a new product, or you're deciding, you got to get names of companies that you want to sell to, companies and people. This is a way she's constantly feeding her funnel on new names to add to market to. So I think that is, so it ties in so nicely. And Kevin, you didn't know you were teeing me up for that, but this is an example of, like, I'm not out there posting just for the heck of it to build my brand. I really am watching who's commenting, sending them direct messages, inviting them to come to things, giving them content, and creating that marketing top of funnel so that eventually, as I, you know, as I win trust, they buy from me. That's my goal in being out there. And so polls are a specific example of how that's being done well, I think, on LinkedIn.
But you see them all the time, which means they're being very effective right now.
So. People keep doing them for some reason, right?
Right, absolutely.
That's great. Now, Kevin, anything else you want to say?
I think that's it. I think that just kind of the gist of our conversation last week was just about being real and trying to remove as much of this automation and be authentic, be real. You don't have to be socially awkward. You know, LinkedIn is a professional network and it's a professional space, but there's still room for being authentic and sincere. And I think it would cut through so much of the noise on there, because all of us, I'd be willing to bet, are bombarded with these automated messages where these people who don't know us are sending us these messages and acting like they're a real person, but you can see right through it. It may be a real person, but they're most likely copying and pasting something into this message. So being as real and authentic and trying to remove any of those technological barriers as much as possible is good. One of the things that I did want to mention that was your idea, Catherine, one of the things that you do was you were talking about the video messages, doing direct messages with video, and how effective that is.
Mm-hmm. So you can do audio or video inside InMail. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think people really like that. I like when I receive those. I love to talk to them because it's very helpful for me, since I, you know, communication is my number two on StrengthFinder, and I have a lot of words. Like, I wake up every day with a lot of words. And I love that you have 59 seconds or you have to do a second message. Inside InMail. And so it really makes me think, what is my point? Which makes me, it gives me a framework to help me serve people, because I got to get right to the point. And I might say, I'm going to leave a second message, and it might be two 59 second messages, but I like that. Those are like guardrails to me to help me think, what is my value proposition? Why am I doing this? What am I offering? And that makes me get clear. So that helps me.
Yeah, I really like that idea.
Kevin, thank you so much. So you guys all follow him. He's a very kind poster and kind commenter. I got compared to a nice singer yesterday. So that kind of made my day, Kevin. Thank you. So thank you so much for being our guest. And if you're like, I know I need to be out there and this is hard for me to make time for, I mean, you know, ask Kevin. Talk to him about his services. And so if he can help you, I know he'd love to. And follow his company, follow him, follow his posts. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you.
I'm so glad you joined us today. If you would like me to come and speak with your organization about how to sell like a good human, please contact me through the website, howgoodhumanssell.com. Thanks, and talk with you again.